Welcome to another edition of El Paso Primetime. I'm Dennis Wu, and the music you're listening to right now sounds so much like a party, kind of like a Middle Eastern feast, and well, it should. You see, coming up after the Memorial Day weekend on May 30th and 31st at St. George Church up on Festival will be the annual feast, the Festival. And we'll be talking about that here in just a little bit, but I wanted to give you a flavor of the music that that you'll hear. A lot of the entertainment inside the big entertainment tent revolves around some traditional music, if you will, much like this. I had a conversation earlier this week, and I'd like to share that conversation with you now about the church, about the festival, the food, the drink, the special things that happen at St. George up on Festival on the west side. And in studio this afternoon, I have Brian Haddad and Michael Cifuentes from St. George Church. We're going to talk about this upcoming festival that El Paso always loves to have a party at. First off, gentlemen, welcome to El Paso Primetime.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that, Dennis. Thank you for the opportunity to get together with you, and thank you for all of your listeners who are tuning in, and hopefully we might be able to enrich the understanding of what the festival is about and all the fun things that are designed for family, fun for a whole weekend that the ones who join us just absolutely come year after year. But for the many of the El Paso ones, it's been, they haven't explored it, and once they do, it'll be just absolutely wonderful experience for them as well.
The last time I came to a festival was three years ago. And then afterwards, I had to either work here or was working another festival. So finally, I get to come back and get lost in the wonderful cuisine and the music and the atmosphere with you folks who, quite frankly, I think sometimes people don't understand your whole mission of St. George. So if you'd like, let's go ahead and open it up. Let's talk about the festival, but also let's talk about the mission, too.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sure. Well, Dennis, the when you look at the mission of the church, first of all, we want to bring orthodoxy to the El Paso community. And so one way of doing that is to invite the public to the festival, because during the festival, we also have a tour of the church. And the tour encompasses a little bit of history of the Orthodox religion. We also talk about the beautiful icons that are located within the church itself, and also the architecture of the church. I was commenting to Brian earlier that what better way for an individual who loves this type of artwork, Byzantine artwork, who is unable to go to Constantinople to see the Hagia Sophia or to go to any church in Greece and see the beautiful icons on the walls, to be able to come to St. George and actually experience that awe of seeing these huge icons that are on the walls and in the ceiling, the dome of St. George. And the uniqueness of this artwork is the fact that the media that is used for painting these icons is tempera, which is egg yolk, that is then mixed with grounded precious stones like turquoise or lapis lazuli to make these brilliant, unique colors. And so this is one way of like I said, to be able to bring the community not only to the festival, enjoy what Brian said, the music, the food, but also come and see what Eastern Orthodoxy is all about.
What you described is something that the first time I got to see where you're now located, I finally got to see the fruits of your labor. Your church has been in our community for how long?
It's interesting. We purchased this church in 1947, but Orthodoxy first came to the United States, to America, in the late 1800s, and Michael will speak about that if that's of any interest. And it was in Alaska, actually. Okay. And so even though Orthodoxy goes back to to the very beginning, and it continues to be, it is fairly new comparatively in history, in that period of time, and has obviously grown tremendously. So the efforts in the El Paso, we bought this church in 1947 that was originally and that's where most people have experienced the first festivals, is on Florence and Rio Grande, mm-hmm. and right across from St. Clements on Montana, okay. in that area. And we were there, even though that was not built as a Byzantine church. It has served us beautifully, and through that and through the efforts, we were able to go ahead and launch into our current location, which is much bigger and much more appropriate for, you know, our faith and our parishioners and our visitors and our festival.
Absolutely right. It intrigues me so much about the icons, especially, Michael. You were talking about the beautiful, the art, the media, the structure, the whole construct. When you walk into your church and to soak it all in, I feel like I'm transported back across the pond, so to speak. It's a wonderful home. It really is.
The idea of a parishioner coming into the church is for the purpose of being able to celebrate the divine liturgy and be able to meditate and leave their problems, their worries outside of the church. And so when you come into the church and the service begins, not only do you have the priests doing prayers, but you also have the choir and chanters who sing a cappella. Because in Orthodoxy, instrumentation is not permitted because the Holy Fathers felt that music should be coming from man's voice, such as the angels would sing. And so when you come into the church and you participate in the divine liturgy, you are completely focused on what's happening in front of you and above you. When I say above you, you're looking at the icons, because basically what ends up happening, that your senses are all activated. Your sight, which is the icons in front of you, above you, your listening, because you're hearing the choir singing and the priests doing the prayers. And then the smell, because you're smelling the incense. In the Orthodox Church, incense is very important because the incense takes your prayers up to heaven. And how sweeter could God and the divine saints be pleased with the sweetness of incense. And then the other is touch. The touch is basically that final gift of taking the Eucharist on your tongue to cure you of your ailments and forgive you of any of your sins. So that is the purpose of Orthodoxy when you come into the church. The other thing that is interesting is that, as I mentioned to you, as you come into the church, you leave your troubles outside. And so in many Orthodox churches, when it comes to the architecture, you will not see any windows at eye level. You'll see windows above in the dome to let the sun shine in. But pretty much what you will see are no windows at eye level. Instead, you'll see icons. And the purpose for that is, again, to keep you focused into what is happening within the body of Christ, which is the church, and leaving your problems outside. So when you come in, you with any troubles, you're refreshed. You're made brand new from the divine liturgy. And you walk out and you're ready to face the challenges of life again.
That works for me.
For all of us, you bet.
It does. It's what a wonderful and an uplifting way to look at life in that vein. I mean, there's no other way that I can put it other than, you know, that's a happy way to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
no matter what your problems are, you have to leave them outside of the door and then contend with them later. And if the troubles are that severe, there are people who will help you with that.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's a wonderful thing. Now, to focus in a little bit more, by opening your doors of your church and your home to the entire community for a party requires a lot of work.
Incredible. Incredible. Only if you know. Most people probably don't know. They have an idea. The ones who've experienced working there have understand. And even though relatively we're not a large membership church, the youth all the way to elderly, you know, put in the effort for this. And we start embracing and preparing for this like 6 months ahead of time. And what we do is to be for the entire community, the cultural, non-political, non-religious type of situation, just mm-hmm. a fun family atmosphere full of, the foods, the many different foods, which I brought you a list of all of them. We have a wide variety of foods. In the old days, we used to serve one large dinner, mm-hmm. and that was it. That still stays with us, but we have supplemented that with an incredible menu, and all of that we use our very best, the best products that we can, from the meats to the butters to the different things that we do. And this is from recipes from the great-great-great-grandmothers that you're eating it as if you're eating it in somebody's home. And it's just absolutely delicious. And I think you've had the pleasure of experiencing it. In addition, there's the live music and the dancing, the traditional dancing, the line dancing, and the belly dancing in art form. And it's just, and many of our participants just absolutely can hardly wait for it. The kids get in there and start learning the dancing, and they just come year after year. So we'd like to remind everyone out there in El Paso that's listening to know that it is this, the end of this month, May 30th and May 31st. It's a Saturday, and it's not short hours, from noon till 10 p.m. on Saturday, and from noon again till 7 p.m. And it's continuous, lots of different things. And so it takes the whole community preparing for this and all this type of situation, the events that we have. It's very pleasing, but it's very tiring. But we enjoy it, and we prepare it with all the love that we can. And if you were to visit us at our home, we try to give you that same feeling of welcome to the community. It is we love it, and we just enjoy preparing for it.
People will ask where exactly you're located, especially for our new listeners who have just come in. There's a lot of military listening at Fort Bliss and surrounding areas who will want to know how to get to the festival grounds.
It is located on the west side, not far the west side. It is 120 North Festival, just off of Mesa, between Executive Center and Sunland Park, about midway between there. That's approximately, and you go up toward the mountain, and it's right behind a shopping center. We have plenty of parking, and we have thousands a year come in and out. And we have instituted valet parking for those who want to take advantage of that. Mm. And so there's somebody wants to come in, just drop their elderly there if they want to walk. That's great. And they can go in and join them. And then in addition, those who want to take advantage of the valet parking, it's great. But I want to mention to our listeners and to you, Dennis, is the facilities. We have a superb hall and the grounds that seats 500 people. We have a smaller hall that seats about 100 continuous. We have plenty of refrigerated air conditioning that they can be comfortable if they want to be on the inside. We have two tents. One is the entertainment tent, in which has tables where you can eat and listen to the music and participate in those activities. And it's a 6,000 square foot tent. And then another tent, it's a food tent right next to it at 4,000 square feet. So the facilities are great. We have handicapped parking. We try to make it as very easily accessible as possible for everyone. And this year we've added the valet parking for those who desire take of it, that, we have an independent company that who does that, and we look forward to it and to make it just that much pleasant and easy for people to get to and enjoy it without having to take a hike.
I was going to mention, Dennis, that as Brian mentioned, the church is located on Festival Street, basically 120 North Festival. So if you go up Festival going towards the mountain, you cannot miss it. It's going to be on your right-hand side. It looks like a miniature Hagia Sophia with a copper dome, and on top of the dome is the cross. So you definitely will know that you're at St. George Antiochian Orthodox Church. The other thing I was going to mention to you is that we each year have about from 7,000 to 8,000 people come to our festival. That's a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
So that tells you what we're doing in the background to prepare for this festival, you know, baking all the goodies and just getting things ready. One thing I was going to mention to you is as Brian said, back in the early 50s, you know, our church, when we were located at Florence Street, the ladies would start cooking. Well, at that time, this is a good example. At that time, there was no frozen phyllo sheets.
Right.
And so this was an opportunity for grandmothers, mothers, and daughters to get together and make the phyllo from scratch, you know, doing the stretching process, you know, to make the klawa pastries. And so with us, even today, it brings the community together so that we're able to visit with each other and catch up with news. So it's a time of socialization for our folks, and also time to teach our young people how to do some of the cooking in the background as well. And even though the women are involved in the cooking, believe it or not, us men are also dragged into the kitchen to help with some of the baking and getting some of the shish kebab prepared and all of that good stuff. So there's a lot of good socialization and lots of fun for us getting ready for our community.
Well, the recipe for kibbe is something that my mom got at her beauty shop from Mrs. Abud. We were talking earlier about,
right.
about this, Brian, and it stuck in my head because I've always had to go out and find wheat, bulgur.
Mm-hmm.
But a certain type of bulgur wheat. It's like a very fine sort of a thing, and then you crack it and you grind it, but you can't put it into a blender. It's got to be in, you know, in our culture, we call it a molcajete. But you know, you put it in a mortar and pestle, and you grind it by hand, and then you use this with this wonderful lamb meat and all kinds of other things. And I remember working in the kitchen with my mom thinking, where did you learn how to do this?
Absolutely. It's through relationship just like that. And it just, you know, it's incredible. Just talking about the kibbe, that is a basic dish that the Middle Easterners use, and it could be eaten in many different ways. And how it's prepared, that cracked wheat, it's just, by the way, it's very healthy and good for you.
Oh, absolutely.
And then you get the very best meats. It's all like 100% lean, and we watch it, and it's ground properly, and with all the ingredients and the different ways that the ladies make it with spices, and it's baked. Here we do it baked, but you can also barbecue it, grill it, and it's delicious. So did Mama pass that on to you as well?
She did, actually. It's the baked kibbe that we do. You know?
That's great. Well, you're going to have to come help us down there, kind of get it from A to Z.
I would like to do that, actually. The next time around, please, you know, don't lose my number because I really want to do this. Because there's something, you know, she taught me how to do, let's say, there was something with tahini butter.
Oh, hummus be tahini.
Bingo.
That's the dip,
That'll be served, by the way.
Oh,
well, that's some just our main dish.
Uh-huh.
Our main dish is a large plate that can feed probably two people.
Mm-hmm.
It has the kibbe, a wonderful rice that's with buttered rice that's, and with the green beans and the meat, you know, over that and the meat pie that you probably remember,
right?
And the baklava, you know, on it, and it's a big dish, hummus. We have the hummus with it, salad. It's great. But that's the traditional dish we've been serving. We added a couple more things to it this year, and it's the hummus and a couple of other items.
Okay.
But we also have something that you probably enjoyed is the lamb, grilled lamb shish kebab, fresh off the fire, absolutely. And then we have the chicken that is seasoned with about seven different seasonings that comes off hot off the grill. And I would recommend to any of the folks listening out there, to when they get it and eat it hot. Eat it hot. You'll enjoy it. And here's basically a list of a few. We have more than that dishes that we have.
One of the things that that is also very popular is the stuffed cabbage, the rolled stuffed cabbage. And then we'll also have the traditional Arabic coffee. It's interesting that you were talking about the molcajete. Because traditionally with kibbe, the older generation They used to use a mocajete, but in Arabic it's called jurn.
Okay.
And it's a marble block that has a hole in it.
Uh-huh.
And kibbeh traditionally is a Sunday dish.
Mm-hmm.
And so they used to put onion and then begin smashing the meat till it was very, very, very fine. And then they would then mix the bulgur to it.
Okay.
And so in my preference, I always call kibbeh the Middle Eastern version of meatloaf.
Yes.
The only difference is that it has a very fine filling of lamb meat with a pinyon. Mm-hmm. Nuts, but it's like I said, it's a traditional dish that's eaten on Sundays, either baked or actually raw as a tartar type of dish.
We drove to Silver City to get pinyon nuts for this dish of kibbeh she was crafting in her head. So yeah, I know the road trip.
And those who do buy the pinyon nuts, as such as we have, it is. It's expensive.
Mm-hmm.
It's real expensive.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other couple of dishes that you probably would like to know, that we have the falafel,
uh-huh.
traditional falafel,
oh,
and the
that.
Gyros. It's a very popular items, and those are just to name a few.
So is it gyros or is it gyro?
Well, it's gyros.
Okay.
But a lot of the, you know, as Westerners here, we refer to them as gyros.
Okay.
Yeah. It's gyros.
Gyros is with an H.
Right.
Well, also for, because I know that there are a couple of folks who come to our festival who are vegetarians.
Mm-hmm.
And so we also will have some vegetarian food for them available. There is a green bean stew with tomatoes that is meatless.
Right.
We also have the hummus bitahini. Also tabbouleh.
Mm.
And so there are some dishes that will be available for them as well. We mentioned about that we have a bake table of delicious desserts,
mm-hmm.
Selling the famous baklava. But there is one dessert which I have to give credit to our teens, and they're the ones that came up with this dessert some time ago. It's called baklava sundae. And what it is, it's vanilla ice cream, and in between layers of vanilla ice cream is chips of baklava in between.
Oh,
and it's to die for. It's
wow.
to die for.
Yeah, and you know, those, and they can get out there on the dance floor and burn all of that up. That's the one thing, that is a two-day event.
Mm.
We encourage everybody to come on Saturday so they can come back and enjoy it on Sunday. And like I was saying earlier, many of our patrons enjoy it so much they want it multiple times a year.
Oh, yeah. Listen, mm-hmm. 2 years ago when I went, the first thing in my head was, how come they don't do this more often?
Yeah.
Until you get into the nuts and bolts of it and say, oh, man, this is really labor-intensive, but mm-hmm. this is a labor-intensive, but it's a love.
It's a love.
It's
exactly.
a lot of love that goes behind this whole thing.
Besides the food, Dennis, we as Brian said, we have live Arabic music.
Mm-hmm.
I think more when people think of Middle Eastern music, what comes to mind is belly dance, and in the Middle Eastern culture, it's beyond belly dance. There's more to it,
right?
And so we have some beautiful Arabic music that is performed. That we can dance to. And one of the traditional dances that the people do is the dabki. It's a line dance. In the Middle Eastern culture, even in Greece and Turkey, line dances are very traditional. And so you would find that as well in our culture. And so we welcome people.
Mm-hmm.
When they start playing this dabki music, we welcome people in the audience to come and join us so they can learn how to dance the dabki. In addition to that, we also will have a bazaar where there will be crafts
mm-hmm.
And art and jewelry available for sale. And one of the things that I failed to mention is that St. George Antiochian Church is what we call very pan-Orthodox. And when I say pan-Orthodox is that it encompasses many, many individuals from different backgrounds. And in this case, in our church, we have those of Middle Eastern descent. We have Greeks. We have Russian. We even have Armenian, some Ethiopians, and also converts, you know, to the church. Like, for example, myself, coming from the Hispanic culture. And so we're very, very pan-Orthodox in that respect. And so so because of that, we have a Russian little store. And so there she will be selling the famous Matryoshka dolls. These are the Nesta dolls.
Right.
As well as other items from Russia. Very beautiful items for sale. So, again, we encourage the community, come and check us out. You know, I know it's going to be a beautiful, beautiful, sunny El Paso weekend. And what better way to come and spend their time with us and experience the Middle Eastern culture in the El Paso Southwest.
The beautiful thing is there's always a letdown after the Memorial Day holiday. Now there won't be because your holiday falls after the Memorial Day holiday. And so people will think, oh, I missed it. No, you didn't.
Traditionally, we've been having it like the first or second week or third week in May. Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of competitions. So we talked this year and just go ahead exactly have it at the end of May where, you know, folks can maybe hopefully experience this a lot more.
Oh, this is a wonderful way to do it. Are there tickets available?
There are tickets available. Let me just speak about that a little bit further. You don't have to have a ticket to get in, basically, because of all the activities and all the live performances and the different things that we have. There's a minimal $3 entrance fee that you can. Now, you can, except for the military. Military is welcome, and they're welcome to come in with ID, and they're coming in free. We welcome our military community at Fort Bliss and all over the El Paso area. We have people coming in from Alamogordo and different areas, Las Cruces, and from, you know, all the surrounding areas. So it would be wonderful for everybody to come in. So, but for the people who want to go ahead and pre-purchase the food ticket, you pardon me, you get in. It's a $20 ticket, and it's changed for $1. Coupons that you can spend in every different booth, or you can buy the big dinner and sit in the air-conditioned area or the entertainment booth and enjoy that. Right. And you don't have to go ahead and pay the fee. Children under 10 are coming in. They come in free. And so that's what came in. So keep one of those $1 coupons, and you can come back in the next day without paying again.
Right.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to add, Dennis, is that when the first day that you come in with your ticket, again, this is if you've purchased the $20 ticket, a wristband will be put on you.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you come back on Sunday, if you have that wristband, you don't have to pay the $3 admission ticket.
Okay.
If you want to purchase any foods or anything like that, then you'll have to buy extra tickets
sure.
or whatever it is that you're going to be purchasing. If individuals are interested in purchasing tickets for the festival in advance, they can contact the church office by calling 584-9100.
My number is 478-2570, and likewise, leave a message. We'll get back with you.
And my cell number, this is for Mike Cifuentes, it's 309-1500. And, you know, I'll be more than happy to, we'll be more than happy to sell you tickets.
Phone numbers and website information will be up later. Thanks for listening to this edition of El Paso Primetime.